ho, ho! Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays, whatever it is you celebrate. I hope that you do it with close ones, loved ones, and that you make some amazing memories. It's been a week, folks. I am mining investor and editor of Resource Stock Digest, Gerardo Del Real, here with a very special guest who's gonna give his amazing insights on all things crypto, given the volatility of the space. Mr. Hodge is out with some well-earned couple of days off, so he will be back here. A quick note, folks, this will be the last podcast of the year as next Thursday falls on a Christmas, so wishing you all the best. With that said, this is the 346th episode of our weekly therapy session that we call Investing in Bizarro World. Gold record highs, silver record highs, copper record highs, Bitcoin, not so much. We're going to get into all of that with Mr. Curl, as well as just talk a little shop on all the volatility societally. It's been a week. Mr. Curl, how are you, sir? I appreciate you joining me this week. I couldn't have thought up better timing given the volatility in the crypto space.
I'm doing well, Gerardo. I do like to make appearances when everything crypto-related looks terrible. So I'm here at the right time.
Listen, I'll share a personal story from earlier in the year. Right around the March-April timeframe, every single one of friends and family members and subscribers that I had got into the lithium space several years ago. And mind you, I was clear from the onset what my two top picks were. And I was also clear that those would be top picks until they were bought out or put into production, because I believed in the lithium cycle. I believed in the projects. I believed in the teams. And so what happened was Patriot Battery Metals went from 16 cents to $17 back to $1.36. Q2 Metals, which is my other top lithium holding, it went from, I mean, we got in at 10 cents. I think I recommended it at like 15 or 20. And subsequently ran up to a dollar and then pulled all the way back to 36 cents earlier this year. So when I started getting all the calls, when it was at 36 cents and Patriot was $1.36, and I started seeing online, you know, short this, the lithium thing is dead. Look forward, not behind, Gerardo. I knew the bottom was in, right? I knew the bottom was coming. And so right around May-ish, I said, look, I've been wrong on the lithium thesis for the past 6 to 12 months. But if you look at the forest and we look back a year from now, it's going to prove correct, folks. I mean, the numbers are the numbers. The demand was not being factored in from the battery storage side. And I knew that because I was looking at the models that the analysts were using. And I knew eventually China wouldn't be able to continue glutting the West with its low quality, cheap supply. And so what happened? It bottomed beautifully in June. We're up some 40% in the lithium spot price since then. Patriot Battery Metals is back to the $5 level from $1.36, where you could have bought it earlier this year. Not quite the $17 levels. It'll get back there in due course. Q2 Metals, phenomenal discovery. Tier 1 deposit, as we said it would be. That's at new all-time highs today. Closed at $1.86. You could have bought that at 36 cents earlier this year, folks. So I say all that to say you have to be a contrarian. And if you're buying crypto, and especially Bitcoin today, you have to be a contrarian. So I am no crypto expert. I don't do very many things well. I joke that I do five in life pretty well, and crypto sure in the heck is not one of them. So as I do with all the other million and one things that I don't do well, I always like to surround myself with people that are experts in the space and much brighter than I. You check those boxes, sir. So before I get into gold, silver, copper, uranium, and lithium, because those are going to be fairly quick overviews given where we're at with everything, how are you feeling about the crypto space? And more importantly, your feelings aside, how is it looking technically? And is there still hope for the Bitcoin faithful?
That is a really good question. It's a burning question for sure, considering that we saw Bitcoin fall from its highs of $126,000 back in October to where it sits now around $86,000. That is a breakdown in the chart that is a fundamentally bearish breakdown, which would indicate technically a bear market. Now, since I started Crypto Cycle, it's been predicated on the belief that Bitcoin does have a four-year cycle of bull and bear.
Yep.
And we saw the bear market lows in the winter of 2022, where I was buying up assets. I was telling people to buy Bitcoin under $20,000 during that period of time. It spent several months under $20,000, which was below its previous cycle top, which had never happened before. And then, of course, once we got the Bitcoin ETF filings from BlackRock, next year after that, I was telling everyone, if you haven't bought Bitcoin yet, now was definitely the time.
Yep.
And of course, historically, in every Bitcoin bull market cycle, you've had a very distinct pattern play out where Bitcoin tops at a new all-time high, usually rather explosively. And the market dominance of Bitcoin relative to other crypto assets peaks out, usually 60-70% range.
Right.
Then it falls. And that's when capital rotates out of Bitcoin and into more speculative altcoins. And that's where investors have historically seen the largest gains. This time was different for a number of reasons, but I think some of the blame lies with Donald J. Trump, our current president.
I thought he was made immaculately from a conception that was from the cosmos, and I thought he could do no wrong.
Well, in this particular instance, he kind of disappointed the crypto community. There were a number of tailwinds that were forming on October 10th. Essentially, if you follow the cycles like I've been following, everything was pointing to an explosive alt season in Q4 of 2025, just like every last time. It would have coincided 80 weeks post-halving would have been November 1st of this year after the last halving. That's, if you average it out, when the crypto market peaks and when you get the most explosive gains, the last blow off top, if you will, in altcoins, and that's where the money is made. So if you've built a portfolio with a broad basket of quality altcoins and projects that you think are going to do well, in every previous cycle, that would have rewarded you very richly.
Right.
And that's what we did. Of course, I was wise enough to have the majority of my holdings in Bitcoin and in Ethereum and like blue chips like Solana, which are, you know, those are still up. Solana, we were buying at the depths of the bear market lows. So no worries there. But we should have seen an explosive blow off top for altcoins, and it should be happening right now. Like, we should be cashing out huge gains right now. But essentially what happened is the market got over levered to the upside, 80% levered long positions taken out, often with crazy, crazy 10x to 100x leverage. Just in time for Trump to make a Truth Social post about putting 100% tariffs on China out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So this just caused a massive cascading liquidation event where almost $20 billion in crypto long liquidations got wiped out. Over 1.6 million accounts were totally wiped out.
Oof.
And yeah, it essentially stalled, if not canceled, what would have been the alt season that would have occurred in Q4 of 2025. We did see
the
some...
Don can add a magician to his to cascade of adjectives. Holy smokes!
I mean, I think you could only describe it as catastrophic.
Yeah, 1.6 million accounts is a lot.
Yeah, that it's a catastrophic liquidation event. It does highlight the key point I've been warning about from day one of doing crypto cycle is avoid leverage in crypto.
Yeah.
And there are a myriad of reasons why, not the least of which is that crypto, particularly altcoins, is already a very volatile asset class.
Sure.
And I just don't think leverage is necessary. Number two, you have a lot of these shady offshore exchanges that do funny things with their order books. They basically hunt out all of these positions to liquidate them.
I still haven't seen the hot tool girl again.
Exactly. The house is always going to win. You might get a win here and there, but in the long run, the house wins.
I hope Pookie's doing all right, by the way.
Well, I mean, I know of people who had very conservative leverage positions sitting in some of these exchanges and even on decentralized exchanges, and who thought they were totally safe, and overnight they got totally wiped out.
Yeah.
So leverage is not what you want to be doing in crypto. You want to invest early in positive projects and hold your way through, because you're going to see big enough gains in the right projects without leverage. And leverage is causing a lot of the unnecessary volatility in crypto. Yeah. Even as we're seeing now, Bitcoin, every time it tries to catch a bid, what do we see?
Slammed.
A massive liquidation event. It bids up, it starts to get a push, everybody levers long, and then they get liquidated. The exchanges, Binance and CZ, they're liquidating you. And there are a lot of conspiracy theories that exist around how and why that's happening. And if, you know, Binance
it's not a conspiracy
CZ,
if it's true, Chris.
Well, you know, and it's very interesting. After this catastrophic liquidation event where we saw a lot of assets on Binance, the biggest crypto exchange in the world, a lot of assets depeg, stablecoins were depegging, and many crypto assets were showing valuations that were essentially not possible. Like they felt they dropped too low.
Yeah.
You couldn't buy them at that price. And yet people's stop losses were getting liquidated at these really low valuations on these altcoins. So it was a very sketchy event. Shortly thereafter, Donald Trump pardoned CZ, which was convenient. And it may have been at the behest of someone like Tyler Winklevoss, who has donated generously to Trump's grand imperial ballroom, as well as to his campaign. So, long story short, is it the whole situation does look extremely sketchy. Everything revolving around that October 10th to 11th liquidation cascade is very sketchy.
Yep.
It was very damaging for crypto and to the altcoin market. And once Bitcoin had a weekly close below a very key technical indicator, it was the 50-week SMA that broke down in November. It was at around $103,000.
Yep.
That does technically trigger a bear market for Bitcoin.
Million-dollar
question,
Chris.
Another thing
what comes
to keep
next,
in mind,
right?
Though.
Million-dollar question, what comes next? But please finish. That's
what I was getting to.
There
exactly.
You go.
So that does trigger the bear market in Bitcoin. However, if we're going to follow cycles, which we're doing so far, I mean, Bitcoin has more or less topped out 12 to 18 months post-halving in October. So if that plays out and we, let's say we see a new low for Bitcoin, if it follows, let's say 60 to 70,000 in about a year from now would be the bottom. Before that happens, every time Bitcoin does revisit and have a retracement back to the 200-day moving average around $104,000. I think that's very likely at least to occur probably in January Q1 at some point in 2026. Simply if you follow the cycle, and then on top of that, you have so many bullish catalysts forming when it comes to the macro picture where we've got rate cuts ensuing. We've got the end of quantitative tightening. The Fed is no longer dumping their balance sheet and might even...
Yeah, we're
really
buying it now.
Picking...
We're buying it back. Yeah.
Yeah, we're buying back up the balance sheet. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get... we've already got an SEC that's very crypto-friendly. We've got 126 ETFs, crypto ETFs in the pipeline.
Yeah.
We now have ETFs not only for Bitcoin and Ethereum, but for XRP and Solana. It's branching out into other altcoins. And I think that retracement back to that technical level of the 200-day moving average could push well beyond given those factors. And that's not even to mention the fact that sentiment is at pretty much all-time lows for crypto.
Yeah, yeah, much that like usually, lithium earlier this year, right?
Yeah, that's usually not a place to sell.
Correct.
And then if you look at altcoins and the altcoin market dominance relative to Bitcoin, it's pretty much at an all-time low.
Yeah.
Altcoins have been obliterated. So if you look at that chart, you look at sentiment, you look at those technical indicators, you look at the fact that we're getting easing monetary policy, Trump's going to get a Fed chairman who's going to play ball and do whatever he wants, which is goose asset prices.
Play ball is a nice
costs.
Term.
So then the midterm comes around and he can, you know, rant and rave about how great the stock market is, because at the end of the day, he does view that as kind of the report card for his presidency. So those factors kind of have me sitting here wondering, boy, it sure does seem like at least in Q1 of 2026, we could see some positive movement on altcoins, particularly if Bitcoin can at least reclaim that 200-day moving average, which it's done every bear market cycle so far. Just to highlight that even further, how disappointing the altcoin market has been, Ethereum, which is the preeminent altcoin, it's the main layer one, it's the one that institutions are building on, that in this cycle only hit a new high 1.8% higher than the high it set in the last bull market in 2021. So that doesn't really look like a market that's worth the risk of investing in. You'd be better off putting your money into these precious metals, putting your money into commodities, putting them into tech stocks, which have been ripping and roaring as of late. So it's very interesting that my gut tells me that altcoins have more or less bottomed and will go higher. How high they go, I don't know yet. It's gonna be dependent on how the monetary policy plays out in Q1 of 2026 and what Bitcoin does. But at the very least, I would wait for Bitcoin to retrace back up to that 200-day moving average in early 2026.
Which is 104K level.
Selling
right?
into a panic is never a smart move.
Got it. And just to be clear, that 200-day moving average is that 104,000 level.
Right around there, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right, there you go, folks. You wanted a crypto breakdown. You absolutely got one. To me, it's by far the best crypto service in the space. Chris Curl's Crypto Cycle. It's called that for a very specific reason. You're living that if you're in the crypto space as we speak. And look, speaking of cycles, on the other end of that equation there, we're living through historic times in the gold space, making a brand new all-time high this week. The silver space posting a brand new all-time high. The copper space did it last week. Uranium and lithium. Lithium is a sector. It's a Christmas holiday episode. I'll be generous with some of the picks this week, and though I'll have a couple for the premium portion of the podcast. But look, Q2 Metals, even at new all-time highs, is headed to be a $1 billion company. PMET Resources, even at, you know, recovering, being up threefold from its lows of the year, that's gonna be back in double digits. And those $20, $30, $40 price predictions I was making a couple of years ago are gonna materialize and play out, folks. Just by knowing what the value in the ground is, what we've been waiting for all year, we finally started to get in June, which was sentiment changing, much like what we're waiting for in the crypto space, right? It was nuked by the president and the tariffs imposed on China. And you know, that is what it is, right? It's not playing politics. It's talking about policy. But we have that bullish sentiment in the metal space. Lithium is the one where a lot of people still don't believe it. They've sat back and they could have made, you know, 6, 7, 8-fold gains on Q2. They could have made 3, 4-fold gains on PMET and several other names. Lithium is going to continue to trend higher in 2026. Those two names are phenomenal ways to play de-risked tier one projects in tier one jurisdictions, the James Bay area of Quebec. And so continue to stockpile that. And then uranium, look, I can't say enough about the supply demand fundamentals in uranium. I'm getting the same calls about uranium that I got about lithium, right? And that that Chris is getting about crypto right now. It's boring. The volatility is mostly to the downside. You're not seeing the momentum that people think we should have given the supply demand fundamentals, which are the best that I've ever seen them. But as I was saying last week, you know, you have billionaires right now fighting and having a shoving contest. I'll be nice with the words because it's a Christmas podcast, but having a shoving contest about who's going to be the first to put data centers in space. If that doesn't make you bullish on lithium and copper and like all of these metals, I don't know what's going to make you bullish. Like maybe this is not the space for you, but I definitely would add to my lithium exposure. I tend to be more high risk, high reward, but both Q2 and PMET, again, have de-risked their projects to a very large degree. And so from here on out, it's development work, proving up the scale and the size, and then continuing to add value with other metals in PMET's case. And with Q2, putting out, you know, what I think is going to be a new resource estimate that surprises to the upside with continued exploration success. So lithium and uranium are my two bottom calls, definitely for 2025 going into 2026. But gold's going to go higher, folks. Silver is going to go higher. Copper is going to go higher for the same reasons that platinum and palladium are going higher. Money is becoming more accessible. This administration is hell-bent on making it cheaper. It's hell-bent on boosting asset classes. They could blame immigrants for everything from immigration to crime to Charlie Cook to the housing crisis, the affordability crisis, why you can't get a Birkin handbag without waiting for 2 years. Like, it's all the immigrants' fault, according to Stephen Miller in this administration, right? But the bottom line is we have an administration that's hell-bent on juicing up asset prices, putting the stock market on steroids, because as Chris so eloquently stated, this administration puts its eggs in the stock market basket. That's the one thing they love to point at. We saw it during COVID. Hey, yeah, you're all locked up. You're all in there. Remember, Trump was president during that. I don't know. I think a lot of you forget. But just look at the stock chart. Look at the stock chart. Look at the stock chart. And people couldn't figure it out. Well, it's the same playbook, folks. It's the same playbook that Nick told you was going to be the playbook 9 months ago. So all of those things are going to continue higher. The equities are going to continue to do spectacularly well. I will share two names that I recommended recently, and I'll do it on, I'm not even going to wait for the premium portion of the podcast. I'll have one name for you guys again. I'm here afterwards. But Lux Metals is a company that has a $9 million market cap. It's got some of the best grades that I've seen in North America, in Canada, for an exploration project. They had, you know, one intercept, historic intercept of like 83 meters of 7-point-something grams per ton gold. And, you know, it's a high-grade project that the DeRouge team, Jody DeRouge and his excellent team, are really getting behind and going to do a lot of the drilling and the work to start here in early 2026. I am a bias shareholder. They're in the midst of raising capital. Our group has participated. We participated in a previous financing. That's a new recommendation in Junior Resource Speculator that I made last week. Again, tiny market cap. I like to be early. I like to get in before the catalyst materialize. That one checks all the boxes, jurisdiction, grade. We'll see about the scale, the right team, the right people, the right structure. And it's dirt cheap. So Lux Metals is one. And the other one is Sirios Resources. I will give you the ticker symbol on that one. Sirios is a new recommendation for Junior Resource Monthly, SOI, on the Venture Exchange. That now is an Osisko-backed gold development / exploration play in James Bay. And it's going to establish itself with the blessing of Osisko Development as the premier play in James Bay within the next year or two. They already have 3 million gold ounces. They have great grade. They're open pittable. The exploration upside is likely at least another 2 or 3 million gold ounces. They have a portfolio of projects in James Bay proximal on the same greenstone belt to their 3 million ounce deposit that they'll be drilling here over the next several quarters. Sean Rusin and Lawrence Farmer of Osisko Development not only are behind it in spirit and in vocally, they actually came in and joined the board of directors. J.F. Lepage, who is very intimate with that project, is the incoming CEO. It's a complete rebrand of Sirios Resources. So expect that company with its tiny little $63 million market cap to go much, much higher. That is potentially, you know, there was a buyout in the region here some 6 to 9 months ago where a similar looking project with maybe not as the economics for the Chichu gold deposit haven't been drawn up yet. But when it's all said and done, they're going to be pretty comparable and if not better. And that went for like an $800 million market cap. So I think this is a $1 billion gold asset that will be proven up in pretty short time. We have a 3 million gold ounce head start. And again, a lot of the team from the DeRouge group will be doing the work as they know the area and that project very, very well. So look, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, all the holiday things, and all the wishes to everybody out there. Those are your two free picks that are new parts of the Junior Resource Speculator and or the Junior Resource Monthly Portfolio. Got to ask you, Chris, are you doing any precious metals in your portfolio allocations? Are you still heavily weighted on the crypto side?
I am pretty heavily weighted on crypto. I do have some of the Sprott silver ETF that I think I've been holding for about 5 years.
And congratulations,
I have,
sir.
I have, well, thank you. Yeah. And I have one or two of your private placement deals as well that I've been holding for the last year plus.
Excellent. How's that going for you? I know the answer, but.
Well, yeah, it's going good. Yeah, good. Those deals work out well generally. And I just bought it over the counter. I didn't take place in the part of the private placement, but it's still performing well for me.
Excellent. So. To that end, look, we tell you every week, folks, that, you know, we've been fortunate enough. I'm super thankful for 2025. And despite all the madness and chaos going on in the world, it's been really kind to us personally and financially. And, you know, the private placement service, private placement intel that Nick and I run has just gone on a spectacular run. You know, it hasn't had a miss in the last 24 months, if I'm not mistaken. And I think the open portfolio is up some 300%. There's, I think last I checked, about 70 spots left. We told you last week that there were about 100. That's down to 70. Those spots are going quick. If you are an accredited investor, I put our portfolio and our performance, especially over the past 2 years, up against anyone's, anybody in the industry. Give it a go. Try it out. If the first two picks don't give you a chance at a triple-digit win within 1 year, we'll make good and make you whole and get you your money back or get you into another service. That's how confident we are about the deal flow and the network that we're fortunate enough to have and the vetting that we do on these projects. I gotta, you know, pivot a bit. I think everybody knows how excited I am for 2026. I was uber excited about the second half of this year. That's played out just absolutely perfectly. Congrats to those of you that have been following along and got in the game and, you know, stepped into the arena, as they like to say, and actually, you know, took some risk and hopefully have been handsomely rewarded thus far. We have a lot more to go in 2026. Couldn't be more excited about that. But man, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention some of the chaos this week and some of the just tragedy. Mr. Rob Reiner and his wife were, you know, apparently murdered by their son, who had been battling mental health and addiction issues. You know, he's under arrest for that. Just a tragic end to a rich life. We had another mass school shooting at, you know, just one of our just great institution of learning, Brown University. And I don't want to get political, but in this case, it doesn't appear anybody at the FBI knows what it's doing. It doesn't appear that the school is doing a very good job of you know, up until the last day or two, of even finding footage. And despite this being one of the most densely wired up universities in all of America, it is beyond me why it's taken this long to finally get some images out. And look, I hope they bring the killer or killers to justice. I could care less if he's got purple hair, if he's from Malibu, if he's, you know, any other like politicization that everybody does when a tragedy happens. Frankly, it kind of needs to end. We had a disgusting reaction to Rob Reiner passing in the form of a statement from President Trump that even James Woods, who, you know, ideologically sits to the right of Mr. Trump, even he came out and said, we have to be better than this, man. This man was just murdered by their son and was found by their daughter. And that is the statement that you want to make, right? We have the Brown University thing going on. We have the horrible incident on December 14th at Bondi Beach, right? At a Hanukkah lighting festival, where two assholes, the father and son team, come up and just start indiscriminately shooting into the crowd. Just, you know, there was a lot of tragedy there. There was some heroism there. You know, citizens, again, they didn't stop and ask who they voted for. They didn't stop and ask the attackers if they were Muslim or if they were Jewish, or they didn't ask the victims if they were Jewish. They didn't care. You know, people rushed to try to help and prevent as many homicides as they possibly could, and did so, disarming one of the terrorists and impeding, you know, and slowing down the efforts of another one. Just everyday citizens that, you know, came from all sorts of different backgrounds. And so I don't know. I hope going into 2026, I've said this before, it sounds cheesy, but I think the world needs more of this right now. I think, you know, hopefully we can find more in common than what our differences are. And hopefully we can be more civil than we have been. And I know that our policy in this country right now, as it relates to immigration and as it relates to, you know, everything else that's going on for the most part, is it conducive to that? But I hope, you know, this country's always been best when its citizens take its voice and its power into its own hands, right? And we don't have to follow the lead of either side, the left or the right, because both sides have been complicit in all sorts of stupidity. But it's getting to the point where it's like starting to get vile and starting to get, you know, fortunately, even people on each, the far left and the far right, are looking at it and going, this can't be the path forward. You know, this cannot be the path forward. And hopefully just us as humans, we can see each other as, you know, a little bit more human every day. And with that being said, I'll say this. I'm supposed to get the Epstein files tomorrow. We already know a lot of the people that were on there, right? Trump, Gates, and, you know, a number of people. We'll see what we get. We'll see what is redacted. Simultaneously, we're bombing little boats, maybe with drugs, maybe not with drugs, off the Caribbean, out in Venezuela. We seem to be getting primed for another war with brown people because all those last ones have worked out so well. And again, we're $39 trillion in debt while doing all this. So, but look, I hope everybody has a phenomenal, phenomenal holiday. And again, I want to end on a positive note here before we get to the premium portion of the podcast. I really, really, really hope that we can make 2026 about uniting more as people and you know, not being as so like tribal about some of the differences. Most of that stuff in real life doesn't really matter, folks. It's not that serious if you really look around. And I have Trump loving friends. I have Trump hating friends. I have friends hiding from ICE, citizen friends that are worried because they're brown. They have their papers. They're here legally. It hasn't mattered a lot of times, right, with this administration. And so it's a turbulent time, but I hope we can come together and I hope we can have a much better 2026 as it relates to how we interact with each other on a human level. And man, on the market side, I couldn't be more excited. We're going to keep cooking, folks. We've been working our behind off this year to make sure that we enter 2026 on a real strong note. So with that, let's get to the premium portion of the podcast. Chris, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it, sir. Every time we've had you on, every single pick that you've laid out for us has panned out well and worked out well for subscribers and readers and our audience. Wish you all the best, everyone. I'm Gerardo Del Real, along with Mr. Chris Curl. This was the 346th episode of our weekly therapy session we call Investing in Bizarro World. Have a great end to your year, folks. Can't wait to see you on the other side of this one. Take care, y'all.